Hello everyone, I am Cecile Gowart, editor of Boat US Edition, and today I had the pleasure of speaking with Terry Hutchinson, the skipper and president of sailing operation for American Magic. Terry is embarking on his sixth America's Cup campaign. The America's Cup is an event he calls the Everest of sailing, and he wants nothing more than to reach the summit. He gives us the lowdown on what's up with the America's Cup and American Magic, and the newly inked agreement with the New York Yacht Club. We briefly revisit America's Cup 36, and we talk about sailing for fun and his family life on a farm in Maryland. For fans of sailing, he hardly needs an introduction. He won his first world championship in 1998, he's a winning tactician of the Louis Vuitton Cup, was named Rolex Yachtsman of the Year multiple times, and has been part of five America's Cup campaigns. He is now embarking on his sixth. This morning, he joins us from Annapolis. Good morning, Terry. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
Great.
Just as I hear you saying that, I'm thinking I'm a glutton for punishment.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah, actually, it's big to take on, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is. But we're fortunate. We've got some great teammates. So, you know, with that, everything gets a little bit easier.
All right. Well, let's bring everybody to speed in case they were not all already in the know. So the fresh news is it's official now. American Magic is back for the 37th America's Cup with the New York Yacht Club. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, we re-engaged our partnership with New York, which is awesome. And probably one of the more exciting things about that partnership is it's for AC37 and AC38. So it allows us to build a bigger platform and a bit of longer term vision with the club and with the team. So that's really exciting. And sitting here today, we're planning and designing and working through all the various scenarios, basically trying to understand where we're going to go and how we're going to get there and what we're going to do.
Okay. So yeah, that's kind of what I was wanting to know. Can you bring us up to date with where we are with American Magic, obviously, but also within the America's Cup? What's left to decide?
Entries opened on December 1st. We entered in the middle of January, so we were the third challenger to entry. INEOS is a challenger record, Alinghi, Luna Rossa, and then American Magic. So there's four challengers sitting here today. And within that, then on the 31st of March, we're waiting for a venue announcement. And, you know, so that's obviously, that's a big milestone. You know, back in the fall, the Defender probably had a pretty optimistic timetable. And I think they were close with a couple of venues, but just couldn't quite get it over the finish line. And so they pumped the brakes and are waiting, you know, making sure that they got a good spot that we can go race that has a strong America's Cup and Maritime heritage to it. And from there, you know, we basically are, you know, like right now, everything that's happening is focused in design world and operational. You know, we have all of our gear and our equipment in New Zealand. And so,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so we are, you know, we're a US-based team. And, you know, now that we have this longer term commitment with the club and with the principals, you know, it's really exciting. So it allows us the opportunity to set up a US-based operation and really have something bigger than just the America's Cup team. So if we can envision a venue that not only caters to the America's Cup, but also a venue that caters to Olympic training and junior sailing and you know, bringing regattas into a body of water that is incredible to sail and helps grow the area and really helps grow the sport, you know, it's an awesome opportunity.
Right. So that's one of the big goals in sailing, right? And I mean, sort of in the back of the mind of the America's Cup too, is try to get people exciting about sailing and getting a younger generation involved as well, right?
Well, my short-term goal for the America's Cup is to win.
Right. Right.
We have the vision of two great principals in Doug DeVos and Hap Fouf. And the every time you're around them or you interact and you have discussions with them, you can see why they're so successful in their business worlds, because they have the ability to think big. And that's something that they're instilling in our team. You know, we obviously are very singularly focused on winning the America's Cup, but in parallel, there is a genuine desire to help grow the sport inside the US. And that starts at the grassroots, and that works its way up through junior sailing and then to the Olympic team, and really help really all aspects of the marine industry inside of our country. You know, if you look at it in parallel to what SailGP is doing, which is, you know, they've started this Foiling First initiative. You know, what a great program. You know, and it starts small. I happened to be in Bristol, Rhode Island last year when they were doing it, and you know, there were 10 or 12 kids out on a little foiler, and you know, it's not grandiose by anything, by any scale, but they're doing it and it's starting, and it's, you know, so, you know, we have to swing for the fences. And at the same time, we want to get ourselves into a spot that we can have a meaningful impact to future generations of sailors.
Is it too early, or maybe you're still discussing, you have any idea, or where your heart is for a base for American Magic?
Yeah, I know where my heart is. we're gonna keep chipping away, and you know, we have a lot of great friends around the country. So, you know, I think we're going to we're gonna make sure we get all the I's and the dotted and the T's crossed before we commit too much. You know, we were fortunate in AC-36 to train in Newport. We were fortunate to train in Pensacola. There's some great venues on the East Coast of the US and the South there. So, you know, I think we're looking at all options, and really want to make sure that wherever we go and we invest in the community, that the community is there to support us as well, because it's, you know, it needs to be a win-win for everybody.
And sure.
And so, you know, in with that lens, you know, I think it's everything will come to a spot over a period of time that we can, you know, respectfully talk about what we're doing and how we're going to go and how the two entities are going to work together to really not only foster sailing and help the America's Cup team, but also help the community that we're operating in.
Sure. Oh, it brings a lot of attention.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of attention. It's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's a lot of revenue. And,
sure.
You know, at the end of the day, it's a dollar and cents type of decision for somebody to have us inside their community. And I'm certain that we contributed both in Rhode Island and both in Florida. You know, we contributed quite substantially to the local economy.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of revenue, I think in a previous conversation you and I had, you mentioned that fundraising was a big part of things. So that's kind of tough when you have to do all everything. Also think about the fundraising. So what are the plan there, and how can people help?
Well, there's a lot to that question. So I think in a very simple way, the team is building an investor program to help solicit high net worth individuals to come in and to really help direct not only the America's Cup team, but the vision and the values of American Magic, which is promoting the sport of sailing, promoting the youth engagement, promoting, you know, diversity across our sport. You know, the introduction of the youth team and the women's team for the next America's Cup, and having the AC-40s, you know, American Magic's in a very fortunate spot that happened, and Doug agreed to have two AC-40s. And so when you look at our lessons from AC-36, which is our racing skills need to be better, we're going to have these two platforms. But the good thing about that is, now that we have these two platforms, when the team's not using them, we can help the youth team, and we can help women's team be competitive in those regattas when they happen. There's still so much unknown, though. There's no schedule, there's no venue, and there's no boat.
Okay.
So, you know, you kind of have to walk before you can run on this one. And
sure.
In that vein, you know, because we have the opportunity now for AC-37 and AC-38 and a little bit of a longer vision plan, it allows us to be thoughtful as we plan how we're going to program not only the AC team, but how we're going to program, you know, the other entities of our sport to help grow it.
Yeah. That makes perfect sense.
Well, it's on paper.
Yeah.
So, you know, the devil will always be in the details and always be in the execution. And so I think they're, again, the best thing about Doug and Hap is they have long-term vision.
Oh, okay. They're in for the long run. That's
yep.
very valuable.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, we don't want to dwell on it, but clearly the 36 campaign did not end up exactly as you had planned. But it was incredibly exciting. And from what I hear, it was the most watched America's Cup ever. Why do you think it was such a popular event? What led to this?
Well, the boats are incredible.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the boats are faster than what the AC-72s were in San Francisco. And that technology, it's hard to not just be impressed by what the boat was and is. And so, you know, it's a little bit embarrassing to say that when you're racing and you're going 35 or 36 knots upwind, that was the norm.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of like, you know, you're going 34. It's like, guys, we've got 2 knots to build here. So, so I think the boat speaks to it. It speaks volumes to why the event was watched and why the event was successful. If the boat, you know, if you look at 2007 in Valencia, where the racing was very, very close in the version 5 boats, that was exciting for a different reason. That was exciting because it was boat on boat and you could hear the audios coming off the boat and
yeah.
the racing was always close. Here, you don't necessarily get that, but what you get is the incredible speeds and the incredible performance of the boat. And it was, to both Lunarosa's and Team New Zealand's credit, the racing was close.
Yeah.
You know, the series was, you know, the Team New Zealand boat was fast, and Lunarosa sailed really, really well to stay in the competition. And so I think it had all components of a great series, which made it exciting to watch.
It sure was. Yes, I was.
Yeah.
I was on social media every day. I couldn't be in New Zealand, but I.
Yeah.
You wrote for us for Boat International and our readers a very poignant article about looking back at the day Patriot unfortunately capsized. You know, I don't think we knew when we watched that you were trapped underwater. So I only found out the day I read your column for the first time, and it was incredibly scary. At the same time, the team recouped, as we know, and you went racing again. It was just amazing. I mean, incredible sportsmanship all around.
Yeah.
It's been a little while now. I know you don't want to spend your life talking about it, but I'm just curious, how do you feel about all of that now with a few months behind you?
Yeah, so it's a year.
A year.
And how I feel about it, you know, I'm incredibly proud with how the team responded to adversity.
Yeah.
You know, we had the day before we launched Patriot in the water, one of our engineers stood up and said, you know, this isn't exactly the team building mission that we were after, but no better time than the present to knock it out. And, you know, the measure is always not necessarily how you get knocked down, it's how you get back up.
Absolutely.
And I think American Magic, to the person and to the nth degree, responded in a way that showed our true character. It showed that we had planned very well because we were able to pull something off that, you know, probably was going to be difficult to do. And, you know, I think, you know, the final point to it is I think we had the respect of our competitors.
Yeah.
Because they all came forward to help us.
Yeah.
So if we didn't have the respect of our competitors, given the severity of the situation, I don't think we would have gotten back out on the water. So, you know, you realize through some of these moments, you realize that there are things that are important. And the challenge I always have is my measure is a scorecard. So, you know, it's not a, it always feels a little bit like a consolation prize, but that's not to say that, what Team New Zealand and what Lunarosa and what Ineos did to help support us wasn't just an incredible display of their character as well. So, you know, you can't feel anything but, thanks in that situation because you know the severity of it.
Yeah. I'm curious, when did you feel ready to take on another challenge, or were you always ready?
Always ready.
Always ready. Wow.
How can you not be ready? I mean, the America's Cup is that, you know, some will say it's a curse. You know, the reason it's so hard to win is there's so many pieces to the puzzle that you have to be patient. You have to make sure you have good people. You have to make sure you have a fast boat. You have to make sure that you navigate through things that are unfair by the very nature that you're not the defender. So you have to manage through these things. And when the time's right and it's your time to win, you have to make sure you're there to capitalize on the moment. And I think that's a great lesson from 2017 with Team New Zealand. You know, they were underfunded, but they were very smart. They had a fast boat and they had a good group of sailors that at the right time, in the right weather window, the boat was faster than Oracle. So they capitalized on the opportunity that was presented to them. You know, had it been a regatta that was 3 or 4 knots more in wind speed, you know, it would have been interesting to see how they would have gone because that was closer to Oracle's sweet spot. So all the pieces to the puzzle came together, and through hard work and perseverance and just dogged determination, through Grant Dalton, really, I mean, they got the whole thing to a spot where they won. And so, you know, that's the best part about it.
Yeah. When did you make it back from New Zealand to the States, and did you have a break, and what did you do to relax after so many years of go, go, go?
Yeah, no, I mean, I haven't, you know, it's a curse. So it's a, you know, you get done with one and you're straight into planning for the next one.
Right.
So, and that's just, you know, my wife would say that I'm committed. And she's right. I am committed. I should be committed. We should all be committed. But, you know, I mean, it's one of those things. It is without question the Everest of our sport. And there's some incredibly gifted and talented sailors inside that competition that have never won the regatta. So again, if it was easy, we'd all be doing it.
And it's, yeah, not easy. No.
No.
So when did you end up being back in home?
I got back at the end of March.
Right.
Last year. Okay. So been back in and got into some racing and did some J70 sailing and some TP52 sailing and some Bellamente sailing. So, you know, this year we have a good balance of racing and America's Cup planning, and we'll start when we figure out where we're going. We'll start in the fall at the venue that we're going to choose to go training at. But again, that venue needs to, that decision needs to be for a longer term purpose for our sport. So, you know, we want to make sure that when we operate inside the community, that we're bringing meaningful resource to the area, and that the area is also supporting the team. So yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, your family? Do you go sailing with the kids, or do you have kids?
Yeah, we have 3 kids. Elias is 22, Catherine is 20, and Aiden's 18. Elias works in a local marina, and Catherine is a junior at the University of Rhode Island, and Aiden's a senior at Eagle Hill High School in Hardwick, Massachusetts. And my wife and I live on a farm where I grew up, and
nice.
She's got chickens and cows and turkeys. So it's yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a step away from the natural environment that I like to be in, which is saltwater. But all the kids, you know, Elias and I probably sail the most. We share a little Alarion 28 that we go out and go sailing on with one of my dear friends growing up in high school, and Dick Franio, who's the owner of the Boatyard Bar and Grill. So, you know, we generally go out and go sailing, and then we go over to the Boatyard for the best crab cakes in town.
That sounds nice. Everybody.
We're in the country, actually. So
nobody does crab cakes like Maryland, that's for sure.
No, right. Crab cakes and football. That's what Maryland does.
Yeah, absolutely. So you got into sailing really young. I read somewhere, I don't know if it's an exaggeration, that you went sailing before you walked, but
so you might be a little exaggeration, but I was I mean, when I was 3 years old, my parents stuck me in a little dinghy because I was such a terror. And they tied a long painter line off the back of my dad's Concordia yawl, and I would sail back and forth all day long and get sunburned and dehydrated and loved every minute of it. So it's definitely one of those that it's in the veins. And, you know, there's something about, you know, I think about a lot when Doug and Hap think about and talk about what they want the sport to become. And, you know, I've been so lucky because the sport's evolved into my life, into my job. And I mean, it's truly like every morning you get up thinking you're lucky stars at what we get to do. But then there's the side of it that's not for everybody, you know, like what I do isn't for everybody, but that's the beauty of it, is that you can go out and sit out on the West River or on the Severn River and in your little dinghy, and you can just take it all in. And, you know, it covers all aspects of either competition or being relaxed and just taking in Mother Nature.
Yeah.
So that's the, I think the reason I've loved it so much is that I always just loved going sailing.
But when did you realize this could be something you could do at the top level? I mean, it just happened.
Yeah, I don't think I actually have yet. So.
Okay.
You have to keep pushing every day.
Yeah.
You're only as good as your last race.
For sure. This said, you started, you know, with the first America's Cup with, was it the San Francisco Yacht Club, I believe, right?
Yeah, with Paul Caillard and St. Francis and America One. And then in 2003 with Team Dennis Connor and Stars and Stripes with the New York Yacht Club. And then 2007 with Team New Zealand. In 2013 with Artemis.
Wow.
With American Magic in 2021. And then again, so.
Wow. I'm really curious because the boats have changed so much. I mean, it's hardly the same sport, right? It's completely different.
No, I mean, it's the same. It's the sails. It's the wind. It's just different because the speed's different. So each time the problem gets a little bit, this next one, the problem will be a little less complicated because we have the experience from AC36. And when we entered this regatta, we committed to whether we win, lose, or draw that AC38 is in the AC75. So, you know, so we're committed to the boat. So,
okay.
If we find ourselves fortunate enough to win the regatta, we're committed to this boat again.
Okay.
And that makes it, you know, that makes the competition a little bit easier.
Sure.
I mean, the boat is incredibly complex, but it definitely makes the competition a little bit easier.
Nothing seems easy, though. Those boats.
No, nothing is easy. A relative term.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, when something happens like what happened at 36, I mean, it for land lovers, it just reminds you, you know, you're at the mercy of the wind and the water. I mean, you can be at the top of your game, you can be the best athlete, but you know, it takes is a freak. Freaking.
Yeah, and, you know, you have to make all the way through. You know, you have to have all the pieces to the puzzle. All
right.
And so, you know, somewhere along the way, we made a mistake, whether we saw it or not. And, but it was highlighted in a moment, and, you know, that's sport.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, kicks you in the teeth and you got to get up and keep going.
Right. Well, we're looking very much forward to seeing you, but what does the timeline look like at this time?
Right now, all we really know is that when they announce the venue, if it's a Northern Hemisphere venue, they're targeting June of 2024. If it's a Southern Hemisphere venue back in Auckland, then it'll be March of 24.
Wow.
So, you know, that has pretty big logistical planning implications. If you know, from a boat build to the design timeline, you know, there's a big change in logistical planning. So we're gonna keep nibbling away at what we're doing. And if we're in a spot where we go back to Auckland, well, that's pretty good because we got a lot of our gear there. And if we end up in the Northern Hemisphere, that's okay too, because, you know, as I said, we're reconning a Northern Hemisphere venue to go training in.
Right. But you'll have to ship stuff back, obviously.
Yes.
Wow.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
All phases, right?
Right.
You know, you don't, it's not just one piece of it that allows the team to win. But, you know, we do know with the longer term commitment, we do know that allows us to set up a training base. It allows us to really, you know, roll out of one and really go straight into the next one. So, which is exciting.
When is the venue announcement? That's coming up pretty soon, right?
March 31st.
Okay. Mark your calendars, everyone.
Yeah, that's right.
So how many people are working at American Magic at the moment?
Right now? Under contract, not that everybody's working yet because not everybody's started, but we have 62 team members under contract.
Okay.
But not everybody started. So that'll flow in through the first and second quarter of this year.
Right. So what's the best way to keep up with what's going on with the America's Cup and American Magic especially?
I think the best way to keep up with us is to follow our social media channels and to keep checking in on the internet and the web pages. But, you know, we're going through kind of a transformation and really trying to get that side of the team set up in a way that is consistent and helps us really build this sailing franchise in the United States.
Right. Yeah. Well, we'd love to help share your news. And
and of course, I'm going to be writing for you. So
yeah, I was just going to say. Really looking forward to having you back and share that with our readers. And anybody who is interested, you can check boatinternational.com. There is at least a couple of your article up there and from last year. And
yes,
we look forward to having the new ones.
All right. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Terry.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Best wishes. And we'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to this week's Big Boat Interview, which was mixed and produced by Grace Nielsen and is a production of Boat International Media. Join us this Friday for our Boat Briefing podcast to catch up with all the news in the world of superyachting. In the meantime, have a fantastic week.